What's up, everybody, and welcome back to Fireside Giants. I'm your host, Anthony Rovardo, joined by my co-host, Alex Wilson. And the Giants are having a little bit of money problems here. The salary cap space dwindling. They made a whole bunch of signings in free agency. Of course, brought in Brian Burns, John Runyon, Jermaine Illuminor. Made all these signings when they had all this cap space, but now they don't have all that cap space anymore. So they made a move today to free up a little bit more salary cap space, restructured the contract of Dexter Lawrence. Now, this is something that we've mentioned in recent episodes. The Giants needed to make some sort of move, whether it was restructuring Dexter Lawrence's contract, Andrew Thomas's contract, moving on from Darren Waller, whatever it was, we knew that a move was coming, and now the Giants got themselves an extra $7.5 million by restructuring Dexter Lawrence's contract. So they could breathe again. They've got a little bit more money. In effective salary cap space, they were $4.5 million over the cap in effective salary cap space, so this was a necessary move. Effective salary cap space being the space with 51 players on the roster included, plus a draft class included into that number as well. So the Giants could not afford to go into the draft the way that they were, so they had to make this move. Now they can actually have a draft class. And there's a few other takeaways from this, and also a few other moves that we do see coming forward from the Giants. And also we want to talk about what this means for them outside of just clearing money for the draft, but also how about signing some players? Is there anybody available for the Giants to still go after? We know that they are meeting with Tre'Davious White. That's an option. Maybe there's a safety out there that they could look at. We'll talk about a few of those options, but really just want to discuss the money that the Giants do and don't have right now and what it means for them for the rest of the offseason. But before we dive into all that, make sure to leave a like if you enjoy this episode. Subscribe to the channel if you're new. Ring the bell so you don't miss the episode. Comment your thoughts down below in the comment section. If you're listening on Apple or Spotify, please make sure to leave us a 5-star review and go ahead and follow us on all of our social media channels at Fireside Giants. Without further ado, Alex, how are you doing today, my friend? And what is your reaction to the Giants restructuring Dexter Lawrence's contract?
I'm doing great. And yeah, I think we all saw this coming. The Giants had to open up some salary space. Right now, they have about $8.7 million. So we'll discuss exactly what they can do with this money after you address the NFL draft and our picks there, depending on kind of what we do. If we move up a couple spots, that price gets a little bit more expensive for 2024 and beyond. If they stay at six, it's like $1 million less. And if you move back even further, obviously it gets cheaper from there on out. But if you add another first round pick, I guess theoretically, if you move back to 11 with the Vikings, you're also getting that 23rd overall pick. It still ends up being expensive, but you know, we'll see what happens there. So the Giants have to obviously pay for their draft class, which is probably around $8 million, and then they want to go into the season with, you know, ideally $5 to $10 million in available funds in case any of emergencies pop up, and then we still need a safety and a cornerback. So I think right now we're probably looking at a couple of, you know, on Twitter I said not really substantial signings, looking at more so some veterans on 1 or 2 year deals. A guy like Tre'Davious White makes a ton of sense because they're going to have to give him next to nothing. Didn't play much last year, the year before that, 29 years old, coming off injury. That's the type of guy you sign to like a 1 year, $2 million deal just to let him compete, get back into the mix. And then maybe you sign him to a 2 year deal at like, I don't know, $3 million per season with an out after the first year, something like that. So give him a little bit more incentive to stay. And the Giants will have a little bit of an option too. If he does play well and stay healthy, they'll have a guy that was a former All-Pro kind of waiting in the wings. At least they have a decision next year if they want to keep him or they want to let him go and, you know, go younger or maybe go with someone a little bit more durable. But, you know, right now the Giants, they didn't actually restructure the entirety of Dexter Lawrence's contract. They opened up $7.5 million. I think they can still open up another $5 million from that contract, if I'm not mistaken. It was just a matter of time before they did it, but they clearly didn't do the maximum. If they restructure to the maximum, I think they could save, I want to say it was $10 million or $12 million. One of them was Andrew Thomas and Dexter Lawrence. One of them was 10 and 12, something around that range. So they still have a little bit more money they can use if they need it from Dexter Lawrence. I don't think they're going to max restructure Andrew Thomas either. I think they'll probably go about half on that. So maybe they'll get $6, $7, $8 million there to add to the mix. And I think that's ultimately what the Giants will probably need to get through the rest of this offseason. And then we have the whole Darren Waller situation where we're kind of waiting to see if he retires. If he retires, I think we keep more than $7 million because all those guarantees now go away because he opted to get out of the contract. So right now the out in this deal is essentially built into the 3-year $51 million contract the Giants would pick up if he doesn't retire or if they don't cut him. But at this rate, I don't really know what is going on there. We've had no, like, information. There's been nothing coming out about what Waller is going to decide, but maybe they're waiting to see what he does to see how much money they have to invest in cornerback. You know, what are your thoughts on that? Obviously, I imagine you probably know as much as I do in terms of it's been pretty quiet. We know he was on the fence about it. Maybe he wants to do music. Who knows? Maybe he wants to see what kind of moves the Giants make. Maybe if they go get another quarterback that stays healthy, he'll be more inclined to stay. There's so many different variables that could play a part in his decision here. But, you know, do you think they're waiting to figure out how much money they save from Darren Waller to then make a move for like a Justin Simmons or make a move for maybe a little bit more of a younger, better corner?
No, I don't think they're waiting on Darren Waller. I think they're waiting on the draft. Those guys aren't realistically going to be all signed up. Those options available on free agency in the market right now, a Quandre Diggs, a Justin Simmons, a Christian Fulton, a Tre'Davious White. Yeah, some of these guys are going to get signed before the draft so teams can feel a little bit more comfortable with the depth that they have and not feel like they have to take certain positions. Other teams are going to go into the draft, take those positions, and then the ones that they miss out on, they're going to sign those free agents, those veterans like a Justin Simmons. So I don't think that they're waiting on Darren Waller. They're waiting on the draft. They're going to see, okay, in the third round, we landed this really nice cornerback that we feel has developmental traits. It could start for us year one. We don't need to go sign a veteran cornerback like Trey White anymore. Or, hey, we just landed Cameron Kitchens or Kalen Bullock. You know, we got some safety in the middle rounds that we like. He could be a starter or at least rotate in with Dave Belton. We don't need to go spend any money on a Justin Simmons now. That's what the Giants are waiting on. What they're waiting for with Darren Waller is whether or not they're going to have their most dangerous passing weapon or receiving weapon, rather, in the lineup this year. Because whether you like Darren Waller, whether you think he played well last year or not, when he was on the field, he was their most dangerous receiving weapon outside of maybe Jalin Hyatt. But let's be real, guys. Jalin Hyatt was maybe the most inconsistent playmaker in the Giants offense last year. There were some games where he looked like a game breaker. There were other games where he couldn't sniff the football and he was dropping passes. But he was a rookie, so he's got to develop. But now the Giants still need their receiver outside of Darius Slayton. Slayton's great. He's always reliable. He's consistent. He's always making plays. But who's changing the middle of the field offense? Because Slayton's your outside guy, right? He's going to be making most of those plays near the boundary. But the middle of the field, who's going to be that playmaker that safeties and linebackers have to key in on? They're hoping that it's Darren Waller. Even though you can't really trust Darren Waller at this point because he's so injury prone and you know he's probably only giving you a half of a season anyway, the Giants are really hoping to have him back because look at this offense without him. There is really no proven talent. There's nobody in this lineup who's been to a Pro Bowl before, even sniffed a Pro Bowl before, other than Darren Waller. So even though Darren Waller is not an effective player really that much anymore because of injuries and age deteriorating his game, he's still a player that the Giants are hoping to have back in the lineup because they do have him on their contract and they need some sort of offensive playmaking. Their depth at tight end is not very good outside of Darren Waller. Yes, they have Daniel Bellinger, and I like Bellinger, but then who else do they have? Maybe a Lawrence Cager, maybe some of the other guys that they signed to the bottom of their roster who might not make it on most teams. I don't really feel comfortable with the depth at tight end, so I don't think the Giants do either, and I don't think it's a position that they necessarily want to dump some draft resources into, so I think that they're probably hoping that Darren Waller does return this season. But if he doesn't, obviously that opens up for them about $6.5-7 million to spend elsewhere. So where does that money go? Does it just go right back into tight end? Do they maybe sign a veteran who can play for them? Maybe not. Maybe they go ahead and they add more depth at corner or safety. But I don't think that Darren Waller's decision is necessarily impacting their ability to maneuver right now in free agency. They had a lot of money. They spent a lot of money. They didn't need any more money than what they had to start free agency. They got done everything that they wanted to get done. I don't think there were any free agents or signings or trades that the Giants missed out on. I think what they really wanted to do, add a premier pass rusher in Brian Burns, fortify the offensive line, add a little bit of talent elsewhere. That's what they did. They got Singletary, they got Runyon, Illuminor, Burns. They did pretty much everything they wanted to do. They accomplished it without restructuring the Dexter Lawrence contract up until now. They still haven't touched the Andrew Thomas deal, and they haven't touched Darren Waller's deal. One thing that we know about Joe Shane, he doesn't like to touch contracts. He likes to have them, and then he likes to leave them because he doesn't like to tie up money down in the future. The problem with Darren Waller is when they traded for him, they restructured his contract immediately because they felt very confident that he would stay healthy and be on the field and be a weapon for them. That was the mistake on Joe Shane's part. It wasn't trading for Darren Waller. That was a good idea. It was restructuring his contract immediately to open up cap space last offseason. That was the mistake that the Giants made. And I think they're trying to make sure that they don't make that mistake again here. So they're not going to touch that Waller contract again unless he just goes ahead and retires. Now, whether or not he will retire, Who knows? I don't have Darren Waller's phone number. I can't text him and ask him. So we're just going to keep hearing rumors until hopefully he just makes his decision. I do think it's a little bit wrong that he hasn't made the decision yet, but it's his own personal thing. He'll figure out whenever he does. But I do think that he should have made a decision by now so that the Giants could build their roster accordingly. Because again, they don't have a whole lot of weapons in this passing game, which is probably why in the NFL draft they are just going to stick and pick at six and take a receiver. Look at how bad this offense is on paper. There is no playmaking threat in the receiving game, especially if Darren Waller retires. So those are my thoughts really on the Darren Waller situation. I just think that his contract, it's not preventing them from signing any free agents. They could make a whole bunch of money right now if they wanted to. They could max restructure Lawrence. They didn't do that. They restructured him just enough to where they had enough effective salary cap space for the draft. If they end up signing Trey White, they'll make just enough money to get by with that as well. And if they make any more restructurings or deals, any moves to free up cap space, it'll probably come deeper in the offseason when they need to finalize their 53-man roster. That's probably what we're looking at for the Giants. But for now, they're getting by with a little amount of money that they have. They really don't need a whole lot more than that, and I think they're just going to keep churning on. If they find any guys that they like in free agency, in my opinion, I think they're going to wait until after the draft to go after them.
Yeah, it's totally possible. And looking at the free agent tight ends still available, let's assume, I know they brought in a couple guys last week, but they're both blocking tight ends. Jake Stoll apparently is actually pretty solid. A couple Eagles fans were like, damn, like we kind of liked him. So we'll see what his developmental upside is. I'm not expecting much. Obviously, was underutilized compared to what they had. But guys that are still available on the market include CJ Ozuma, Logan Thomas, Robert Tonyan, Mercedes Lewis. There's some other guys here. Jimmy Graham, 37. Don't want to touch that. Tyler Croft. There's some okay players here. Nothing really that stands out that's like, okay, this guy's going to make a significant impact. Logan Thomas would be an interesting one. He's a pretty good pass catcher. I think the Giants are keeping Lawrence Cager around, and he's a good pass catcher, a terrible blocker, but decent receiver. So we'll see what happens here. Maybe they even go and try to find one of the mid rounds if they elect to move on from Darren Waller. So, there are some decent pass catchers in the draft. You can always find a specific skill set at tight end in the draft. I just don't think they're going to probably spend one of the first three rounds on one. I think probably fourth round, like we got Daniel Bellinger. And honestly, Daniel Bellinger is one of those guys that I think is going to step up this year. They really underutilized him a lot in 2023. A lot of people will kind of look at Daniel Bellinger and say, well, he didn't look that great blocking. I'm like, well, yeah, because they were putting him really right and left tackle on a game-by-game basis to support our awful offensive tackle situation, right? Like, he was having to help block, like, Nick Bosa at times. And he really going to put a tight end against Nick Bosa? And he's not even just chipping. He's just standing there blocking. Wasn't even running routes at times. So I'd love to see the Giants get him more involved. He's a good player, good run blocker. I think that he can be a solid asset in this offense. And, I think that they should expand on him. I know you agree with that, Anthony. So right now, tight end position. We got Waller there and Bellinger, so I'm okay right now. We'll see what happens with the financial situation if they do get rid of Waller. But I don't expect the Giants to be spending much money moving forward here, even if it comes to a cornerback. And right now, the cornerback market really is kind of leaning in the direction of a veteran. Adoree Jackson's still there. Stephon Gilmore could be an alternative. Xavien Howard, J.C. Jackson. There's some older guys. Patrick Peterson, he's kind of washed. Steven Nelson. There's older options that are going to be cheaper. So I think the Giants do end up going with one of those guys on like a 1-2 year deal max with an out after the first season at a much more affordable deal. But we'll see how they operate. Obviously, youth is better. Who knows? Maybe if they trade back, they will decide, let's take a corner at 23 or let's take a corner at 47. Anything is possible in the draft. I would love to have two young cornerbacks, a lot of upside. We discussed, them in the live stream yesterday, bringing back Darnay Holmes. They still have Cordell Flott. We like Nick McCloud. And then Trey Hawkins is another guy who's still developing. Maybe they feel like they have their guy already on the roster. Maybe they feel like Cordell Flott could be a boundary corner. He had a couple really good games last year. Maybe they feel like Nick McCloud has untapped potential they want to expand on. Trey Hawkins, really good athletic profile and, one of the best athletic corners in the draft class last year. So there's still a lot of promise. Sometimes, guys take a little bit of time to grow and develop and become starters. And I think the Giants have a couple of players here that, they're excited about. And, we're going to see Dane Belton. To me right now, I feel like maybe Dane Belton will be the starting free safety. Not my preference, but I do think that there is a world where we see them pull a Jason Pinnock with Dane Belton. We just didn't add anybody because we like Belton taking over that role. However, really like Kalen Bullock as well. If the Giants could land him in the second round, I would love Kalen Bullock, although, you think too early for him or too late?
Too early.
Too early? So you think third round for Cannon Bullock?
Yeah, definitely too early. Later.
You think he's going to go in the late, in the mid-third round?
Third, fourth round? Definitely not
really?
At 47. If they took him at 47, I would not be happy.
Yeah, I guess that's fair. Maybe not in the second round then, maybe in the third round. But either way, Kellen Bach's a good player. Wouldn't be surprised if they ended up trying to go get him. They were there at the USC Pro Day. He was there as well. So, you know, I do believe that there's reason to believe they could go safety in the mid rounds. They do tend to have a string of going defensive backs. I know Cordell Flott was another guy, Dane Belton. They do like to add some DBs in the mid rounds there. So, you know, we'll see what happens there. But what do you think? They're probably going to address some of these positions in the draft. Or do you think they'll look to free agency to find some veterans on cheaper contracts?
I mean, both. They're going to do both. They don't have a choice. They have to add some more young talent to this team. And the problem is, though, how many draft picks are they going to end with? That's the question that we don't know the answer to. If they end up trading up, they're not going to have a second-round pick anymore, most likely. You know, if they trade up into the top four selections of the draft, they probably have to sacrifice their second-round pick. Then it becomes really difficult to fill out the rest of this roster. If they trade down, though, then they'll get a whole bunch of extra picks, and they can take more chances on more positions of need. Really, they do need to add depth. This depth is lacking on this roster, I would say across the board. Offensive line depth is not the best. Tight end depth is pretty poor. Receiver depth is poor. Secondary depth is poor. So the Giants just need to add depth. And unfortunately, the only way to really do that in the NFL in a cost-efficient manner is to trade down in the draft and accumulate a bunch of capital. So that's really how the Giants are going to go ahead and add more talent to this roster, is through the draft. But after the draft, once they have those players on their contract, those rookies, they know what the youth on their team looks like, then I think they get back into the free agency pool and add a few more players. So let's say they can't find the tight end in this draft. Then I'm sure that after the draft, they're going to go ahead and sign some sort of veteran. Not anybody too great, not anybody who's going to start 17 games for you, but somebody who, if you need them to, start 1 to 3 games, they'll sign somebody like that. Veteran minimum deals, that's what they're going to be looking at. But that's really all the Giants can do at this point. They don't have a ton of money, so they're going to have to try and add developmental talents in the draft, and then hopefully fill out the rest of their roster with free agents once we get closer to training camp. Think like when we were in training camp last year and the Giants started signing guys like Cole Beasley. They traded for Boogie Basham. Boogie Basham barely played last year, but he was depth. Cole Beasley just ended up on the practice squad. Those moves. That's the move. Those are the moves that the Giants have left. They don't have any more signing a starting cornerback for 17 games left in the tank. They really don't. So they're going to have to go through the draft, and they're going to have to hopefully hit on a few of those picks and then make more of those Cole Beasley, Boogie Basham level acquisitions, where they just bring in a few guys, Isaiah Simmons as well, bring in guys to fortify the rest of the roster, flush it out, and then add talent that they missed out on during the draft. That's exactly what I think the Giants are going to do. Bank on the draft to fill out the roster with young talent, and then just bring in some guys that could start in a pinch for you if you need them to start a few games during the regular season. Those are the free agents that they'll sign during training camp era.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting the next couple of weeks and the next couple of months. How the Giants go about utilizing their salary space. I kind of feel as though right now they're playing it cautious. They've made the big expenditures. They've added Brian Burns. They've added Runyon. They've added Jermaine Illuminor, Devin Singletary. They've spent, you know, at least next year in terms of yearly salary, $50 million, you know, something around there, let alone a couple other smaller signings they added. So they've added like $50 million in payroll, and I kind of feel like they're done in terms of the big acquisitions. But you know, that's why we keep discussing the Daniel Jones contract next year, the opening up salary space, creating that financial freedom, going quarterback. Of course, a couple weeks from now, everything is going to change one way or another, whether it's a receiver, whether it's a quarterback. We're going to have a lot more information to base our kind of evaluations off of. But we'll start diving into some player profiles. The news is going to slow down pretty heavily leading up to the draft, unless there's any buzz around, you know, stuff and rumors coming out about quarterbacks or where the Giants are going to go. But the Giants have been pretty good at keeping the leaks from getting out there and keeping all the news and keeping everything within their control. So I think we'll start probably diving back in some player profiles and looking at guys the Giants might be able to land in the second round that could be pretty good additions for them.
Yeah, definitely a ton of prospects to dive into, and we'll continue to do that, talk about some of the guys who could be available, all the different scenarios for the Giants in the draft, everything else. You know, if they do end up signing Trey White, of course, we'll have a reaction to that. Anything going on with the Giants, you can catch all the news, the rumors, the reports right here on Fireside Giants. So make sure to leave a like if you enjoyed this episode. Subscribe to the channel if you're new. Ring the bell so you don't miss an episode, and comment your thoughts down below in the comment section. If you're listening to Apple or Spotify, please make sure to leave us a 5-star review and go ahead and follow us on all of our social media channels at Fireside Giants. Without further ado, we'll catch you all on the next one. Have a good one. And let's go Giants.